Good morning. I would encourage you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. In just a moment, we will read verses 12 through 16 together. Philippians chapter 3. Onward and upward. In Philippians, the third chapter, the Apostle Paul describes his life. He talks about his past. He talks about his present. And he talks about his future. And as we read Philippians, the third chapter, I believe that we are called to think about our lives, to think about our past, to think about our present, and to think about our future. And as we turn our attention to the words that he writes concerning his present, as we read these words together today and we think about them for a few minutes, I want you to see how he describes a dissatisfaction, how he describes a devotion, how he describes a direction, and how he describes a determination. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Lesson number one from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 this morning forces us to consider the fact that there is a holy dissatisfaction that we ought to have about ourselves in light of our relationship with Christ Jesus. Jesus is perfect in the absolute. Everything about his thinking and his speech and his behavior, all of his attitudes are perfect in the absolute. It is foolishness to compare ourselves with ourselves, which is what some of the Christians in Corinth were doing in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But as we compare ourselves with Jesus, there's a holy dissatisfaction that we ought to have, because we have not already in the past attained. We are not presently in a position of attainment or perfection. We have not yet been completed. We are present tense, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. We are presently pressing. We are pursuing. We are running swiftly. Christ Jesus has laid hold of us, and we are longing to lay hold of him in return. But as we consider ourselves and examine ourselves, as the Apostle Paul was doing for the Christians in Philippi, as we take an inventory of ourselves, we must be honest about the fact that we have not yet arrived. We have not yet been perfected. We have not yet apprehended. We have not yet achieved what Philippians 3:17 through 21 describes as the final act of our redemption, our glorification. And so there is a holy dissatisfaction that we ought to have about ourselves in the present. As we think about the letter to the Christians in Rome, in Romans the 12th chapter, we're not to think more highly of ourselves. As we think about instruction to the Corinthians, we're not to think about others more highly than we ought to think of them. And as we think about ourselves, I can err in thinking better of myself than I am. I can also err in thinking worse of myself than I am. And so Psalm 42 needs to be my own. Psalm 42 is a psalm that I must internalize and then pray and sing. And by God's grace, we do have a song, a modern song, that is set to, the music is set to these words. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I have not already attained. I have not already been perfected. I have not yet apprehended, but I press. What is the devotion of which he speaks? But one thing I do, as the Apostle Paul examined himself on the road to Damascus and for 3 days in the darkness, and as the Apostle Paul continued to examine himself, and as he, carried along by the Holy Spirit, would encourage the Christians of the first century to constantly be examining themselves. And as we examine ourselves this morning, may I suggest to you for your consideration about yourself, that it just may be that you are involved in too many things. As we turn our attention in the month of August to the book of James, we will learn in the first chapter in verse 8 that double-minded people are unstable. Revelation tells me that, but I have experienced that myself. I know that from experience. Philippians 3 verse 13, when we consider the devotion that we have been called to demonstrate in our relationship to Christ Jesus, these words challenge us, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, that are back of me, whether we're talking about a time or a place, reaching forward, the idea of stretching oneself out, reaching forward to those things that are ahead, those things that are in front of us, whether we're speaking of time or of place. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Philippians 3:13 is not a command toward the impossible feat of mental and psychological gymnastics by which we try to force ourselves to forget our own past. That is not what Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul unto the Gentiles did. But what he did do, and what we're being called to do, is to break the power of our own individual personal past by living for the future. I cannot change my past, but I can change my future direction. And that is the essence of repentance. The Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus for one reason. He repented, he changed, and he turned, and he went in a different direction with Jesus. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, I obtained mercy. And that is the basis on which any of us have a relationship with God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Mercy. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me, when we look into Saul of Tarsus, when we consider the Apostle Paul, what we need to see in him is that Christ Jesus is showing long suffering in him. He is showing in him a pattern to those of us who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. What did he do as Saul of Tarsus? He put that behind him. He broke the power of his past by living for the future. And in those first 11 verses in which he is describing his past, he says, I have sacrificed everything that I might gain Jesus. It is all lost. Everything that is behind me is lost. I count it as garbage so that I can have Jesus. this one thing I do. To understand the person of Jesus is to experience this kind of devotion. Because to know him is to know that he is worthy. He is worthy of us taking inventory of ourselves and being dissatisfied with who we are, because in comparison to him, we fall short, because he is in the absolute glorious. We fall short of his glory. To know him is to long to be like him and to sacrifice everything so that we might know him and be conformed to his image and know the power of his resurrection and experience the fellowship of his suffering so that we might conform to his image more closely. The matter of forgetting applies to both kinds of past experiences. Whether you think about all the righteous things you've done in your past, or whether you think about all of the times that you have fallen short of God's glory and you have sinned against God and you have participated in wickedness, it's all got to be left behind on a daily basis. The call of being Jesus' disciple is to deny yourself daily, to take up your cross daily, and to follow him daily. And so whatever has happened in your past, whether it was good or whether it was bad, don't let it define you. Don't let it destroy you. But rather let it work for you. This is one of the great lessons of the second letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Ironically, the one Lord's Day that Zoom didn't work for us, this is where we were. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whatever has happened to you in your life, don't let it define you. Don't let it destroy you. Let Jesus define you. Let Jesus build you up and give you life and bless you with abundant life now and eternal life to come, the hope of glorification. Forget it. Move on. Look ahead. You have work to do in the kingdom. You have work to do in the vineyard. There is work to do in this sinful world that is passing away to bring others to the same dissatisfaction in themselves, the same devotion, the same direction, which leads us all to walking in the same determination, the walk toward home. We are not home here. This world is not our home. We are just sojourners and pilgrims. We are aliens in a foreign land. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are pressing toward the place where Jesus is, the very dwelling place of God, heaven itself. And we are not just casually making our way there. We are pursuing home. We are running swiftly toward the end that we have in view. The prize is Jesus himself. It is being with the Lord always, forever and ever, and with his people, and always being with the Lord and his people. And this call is from heaven, and it is to heaven. Hebrews 3:1, we have a heavenly calling. And the calling that we have received by grace and mercy and love is calling us home to heaven itself. It's the greatest invitation, because it comes from the greatest. It is the preeminent invitation, because it comes from the one who has all preeminence. What is in your heart this morning? Are you satisfied with yourself? Are you satisfied with where you are this morning in Christ? Are you satisfied with your devotion? Are you pointed in the right direction? Are you determined not to be distracted but to run with endurance the race that is set before you, to pursue and to run swiftly. As we think about the determination that we are to have, Philippians speaks to us into the fact that there's a couple of extremes that we have to avoid. One extreme is, well, God's just going to do it all. The other extreme is, well, that I must do it all. So we want to avoid both of those extremes. When we read text together and we come together and we talk through those texts, inevitably we will ask the question, well, how do we do that? And as we examine ourselves, what we find is this holy dissatisfaction, because when I look at myself, what I see in myself is failure. A failure to be meek, a failure to be gentle, a failure to love, a failure to show self-control. And so what is the extreme that I'm participating in? It's this extreme of, well, I must do it all. And it's self-defeating, because what do I already know in the depth of my being? I can't do it. And so in Philippians, the second chapter, and in verse 12, we're encouraged to think about the fact that there is a salvation that we must work out, and it's individual in nature. Work out your own salvation, Jason, with fear and trembling, but by God's grace, because of his abundant mercy and his love for us, there's not a period in verse 12. And what we find in verse 13 are some of the most special words that we can find in all of the Bible. It is the God who created all things by the word of his power. It is the same God who raised up Jesus from the dead with power that is unique to him, who says to us in full assurance of faith that he is present tense working in our individual lives, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. As you determine to run, understand this. His strength is available to you. His power is available to you. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could even begin to ask or think in you, according to the power that works in you. Philippians, being the greatest commentary on the prayer of Ephesians 3:14 through 21. Do we believe? Are we convicted? Do we trust? Are we surrendering to him? Are we pressing? To pursue is, as Vine would say, used as a metaphor from the foot race. It's a race. And we're running hard. And we're running as fast as we can. And we're speeding on earnestly, because we're in it to win it. And what we're in to win is Jesus. And the language that he uses in Philippians 3 verse 12 and in Philippians 3 verse 14 is in the continuous present tense. We're not stopping for water. We're not even stopping for Gatorade, because we like our Lord Jesus, we have water to drink of which you don't understand. And we have food to drink of which you don't understand, which is what Jesus says to his own apostles early in his ministry, when he's been engaging with the Samaritan woman. He's been talking to her about living water, and he's been talking to her about not never thirsting again. And the disciples come back and they're like, well, he must have found something to eat. No, I have meat to eat of which you don't understand yet, but you will. And God help us to understand. And God help us to pray us. Where are you in your relationship with Jesus this morning? May I suggest to you for your consideration that he loves you so much that he died for you. So don't be discouraged wherever you are in him, because what he wants to do, as we shall see in James, the fourth chapter, is he wants to lift you up. But he didn't want you to get too big for your britches, to use an expression that I've been hearing all my life. You need to have a holy dissatisfaction about yourself. And the way that you can achieve that is by not looking into the mirror every day and saying to yourself, you know, I look good and I am good. And boy, everybody's lucky to have me. You need to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is like a mirror for the soul, James 1. And what you're going to see when you look at yourself in light of Jesus is imperfection. And when you see that imperfection, you need to press. You need to be devoted to one thing and one thing alone. You need to set your direction toward heaven itself, where Christ, who is your life, is. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And you need to be determined that whatever happens to you in your life, not going to let it define you. You're not going to let it destroy you. You're going to let Jesus save you. Amen. Justification. Sanctification. Glorification. Amen. He who has begun a good work in you is how Philippians begins. He who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. Internalize that, brothers and sisters, and let us join our hands and our hearts and our souls and our minds and our strength together as one. And let's run together. Amen. Into the loving arms of Jesus. Amen. We gather in this place together on the first day of the week because we love Jesus and he has called us to do so, so that we might share in him and share with one another in his person and in his work and his death, burial, and resurrection. And we gather around his table so that we might draw strength and nourishment and power from his body and from his blood. Amen. And so as we turn our attention to the Lord's Supper now and we think about Jesus's dissatisfaction, not with himself, but with you and me. He wasn't satisfied for you to be lost. He wasn't satisfied with that at all. So in Philippians 2, we have some insight into his beautiful mind. He humbled himself so that he might lift you up. Amen. And that's what the Lord's Supper does. It helps us to see that he is worthy of our devotion and we need to be directed toward him and we need to be determined. We are going to live our lives in such a way that we perfect holiness, that we participate in sanctification, which is the process of conforming us more to his image. So that when he comes again, he sees in us the determination that the Apostle Paul encouraged us to have in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14.